This is Cross Hope, a daily word of hope and inspiration with Randy Snyder, Senior Minister of Crossview Christian Church. Now, with today's message from Cross Hope, here's Randy Snyder.
Always been a fan of Simon and Garfunkel and their music. Don't understand some of their music, not sure of the symbolism of some of their music that they wrote. In fact, there's one song that I want to reference this morning. I have no idea of who Kathy is in a song they called Kathy's Song. But Kathy's Song has a line in it that goes like this. I don't know why I waste my time writing songs I don't believe. What a statement. I don't know why I waste my time writing songs that I don't believe. I wonder how much of your life you don't believe, in the sense that if someone were to tell you or would have told you 10 or 15 years ago what would be going on in your life right now, you would have said, I don't believe that. If someone 20 years ago said, 20 years from now this is going to be happening in your life, you say, oh, that's not going to happen in my life. And I'm speaking that of all of us, in terms of what's going on in your family, with your children, with your parents, whatever the case may be. We may not believe or would believe what someone projected for the future that is indeed happening. Today I'm going to begin an 8-week series on the word believe. You may say, how in the world could you spend 8 weeks on one word? We can. The Bible has so much more to say about the word believe than any other word I know. The word believe means to accept something as true. The word believe means to accept something as true. My favorite song of Rich Mullins is a song about the Apostles' Creed. And some of you grew up reciting the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is a very powerful statement. I believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God of heaven and earth and His Son who was crucified and died and buried and rose again. I believe those things. But there's a line in his song that goes like this. I believe what I believe makes me what I am. Listen to that again. I believe what I believe makes me what I am. You are the result of what you believe about a lot of things in life. One psychologist put it this way. You may not believe what other people tell you. And there's some of you that you don't believe anybody. You don't believe people in your own family about anything. You don't believe your coworkers. You don't believe your friends. But he said this. But most people believe everything they tell themselves. You may not believe anything anybody else tells you, but you believe everything you tell yourself. And he said, therefore, it's extremely important to tell yourself the truth. Because he said a lot of people tell themselves lies. They lie to themselves. What you tell yourself makes you what you are. What you believe about things makes you what you are. And this is going to be a statement that you're going to hear through this series, but it goes like this. What you believe about Jesus Christ, what you believe about the Bible, the Word of God, will impact the way you treat your family. What you believe about Jesus Christ, what you believe about this book that we call the Bible, will impact the way you relate to coworkers at work. The way you relate in the business world, the way you relate socially to other people will be impacted by what you believe about the Lord and what you believe about His Word. That's how important belief is. Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that talks about Abraham. Abraham was the one person in the book of Isaiah that's referred to as the friend of God. God said Abraham was my friend because he believed him, believed God. We're going to talk about Abraham today and how it was credited to his account as righteousness, because not because of what he did, but because of what he believed.
Well, for the sake of discussion, do you believe that statement that what you believe impacts what you are? I do believe that's true. What you believe about the Lord God Almighty, what you believe about the Word of God, impacts what you believe about everything else. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
Today we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that talks about Abraham. Abraham was the one person in the book of Isaiah that's referred to as the friend of God. God said Abraham was my friend because he believed him, believed God. We're going to talk about Abraham today and how it was credited to his account as righteousness, because not because of what he did, but because of what he believed. It's a revolutionary thought, and it was it at the time it was written. Let's read it together in the book of Romans, 4th chapter, 1 through 3, and then 18 through 24. The Apostle Paul says, "What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Now verse 18. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised." Underline that in your Bible, if you underline. Being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he promised. "This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words 'it was credited to him' were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead." Let me tell you why this thought was so revolutionary, just on the face of it. Most people, when they read this, were used to a works-based system that said, God will approve of you if you do the right things. Righteousness is the result of doing righteous things, righteous acts, righteous deeds, and therefore to be righteous means I've got to do a lot of righteous things, a lot of righteous acts. And the Apostle Paul comes along and shocks his audience by saying, do you know what was credited to Abraham as righteousness? The fact that he took God at his word and he believed him. That's revolutionary 2,000 years ago. It's revolutionary. Why? Because some of you were raised in a works-based religious background. A lot of people in Christian churches all over America were raised in a works-based system. You say, what do you mean by that? You do the right things, you say the right things, you act the right way, then God will be pleased with you, and that's your righteousness. You've got to manifest that righteousness. And that's not what the New Testament teaches. The New Testament teaches that we're righteous because of the salvation that we do have. It's a response to God's grace. It's a response to his love. And there's nothing you can do that will make God love you any more than he does right now. Somebody needs to hear that today. There's nothing you can do that would make God love you any more than he does now. And so like Abraham, it's credited to us as righteousness. For what? Doing the right thing? No, believing the right thing and believing the right person. Everything about your Christianity flows out of your belief in Jesus Christ, in who he is, what he is. You do understand that, I hope.
Well, on Monday, we not only began a new message, but a new series simply on the word belief. The Bible has so much to say about a word. The big word that begins with the letter B, belief, and belief. We'll talk about that over the next 8 weeks, a series about believing God and believing his word. God bless you, and thanks for listening to CrossHope.
Everything about your Christianity flows out of your belief in Jesus Christ, in who he is, what he is. You do understand that, I hope. Everything flows out of accepting and trusting and believing. What did Abraham have to believe? Well, you know the story of Abraham. This is fascinating. He's about 100 years old. His wife, I think, was in her 80s. And he's told by God, you're going to have a child. Anybody have trouble believing that if that happened to you in your 80s or you're nearing 100? Yeah, we would. Just as stunned. And yet Abraham, in his trust of the Lord, said, okay, God said I'm going to have a son, I'll have a son. God said I'm going to be a father of a great nation, I believe him. God told Abraham, if you remember this as well, to move, pack up all his stuff and his household and family, and he said, I'm not going to tell you where you're going to go, just leave. Can you imagine renting a Ryder truck, loading all your stuff in a Ryder truck or a U-Haul and say, where are you going? We don't know. We're just going to get on the freeway and we're going to drive. That's what Abraham did in an even more dramatic way than that. And he took God at his word. And that's why I really personally believe that's why Abraham is the only person in the Bible that Isaiah 41:8 is the reference, by the way, for those of you that wondered about that, where the Lord says, Abraham is my friend. And he's the only person in Scripture that's referred to as a friend of God, has nothing to do with what he did, in my opinion, but everything in what he believed and the one he believed in. You can be a friend of God, I think, by saying, I believe God. I believe in his word. I trust him. I want to give you a powerful illustration of trust. I heard a minister tell this story that it happened to him. He heard this person speak. He said he heard a missionary speak who told one of the most powerful stories about faith in God that he'd ever heard. A woman who was a missionary 30-some years ago left this country on a ship for the mission field, and one of her friends or relatives, as she was boarding the ship to go on the mission field, dedicating her life to full-time Christian service, handed her a stuffed envelope, sealed envelope, and gave her these instructions. Whatever, and let's pick a name out of that. Jane, if you ever get to the place when you have nothing left and there's no support, there's you're just at the end of your rope in the country you're going, I want you to open that envelope. And I want you to just, you know, use what's there. And just keep it, but keep it for a dire emergency when you have nothing and it's an emergency situation. This minister that I know who heard her speak 30 years after that story, and she's giving her talk about her time in the mission field, and she holds up the envelope and says, I've never opened the envelope. I have never opened the envelope. I'm the kind of guy that would have opened it getting on the boat, you know? Let's see what's in there. But she never opened the envelope. And here's what the minister said. That envelope for her became a symbol of her trust in God. Do you have anything in your house that's a symbol of your family's trust for the Lord? You say, well, what could it possibly be? Is there a piece of furniture in your house that maybe somebody provided for you when you were first married and you didn't have a dime to buy any furniture, but somebody provided that couch? Somebody provided that chair? Somebody provided that bookcase or hutch, whatever the case may be? I think all of us need to have something, if possible, that we can point to and say, there's the provision of God.
Well, this message from Romans 4, talking about Abraham believing God, will continue tomorrow, exactly where we leave off today. The importance of believing God, taking God at his word. That's tomorrow on Cross Hope, same time, same place. Well, on Monday, we began not only a new message, but a brand new series on one word, a word that's very familiar to most of us. It's the word belief, or the word believe. The premise of the series is this: what you believe about the Lord and what you believe about his word, what we call the Bible, impacts what you believe about everything else in life. What you believe about Christ impacts the way you look at your marriage, whether you know it or not. The way you believe and what you believe about Jesus impacts the way you treat your children or your parents, how you treat coworkers, how you socially interact with people. All of that is impacted by what you believe about the Lord God Almighty. Let's continue with part 4 today.
I think all of us need to have something, if possible, that we can point to and say, there's the provision of God. It's just a symbol. It's just representing. It's something temporary. It's something physical. But it's something that reminds us of the hand of God providing. And that minister who was at this gathering said you could have heard a pin drop as she held up the envelope and said, I've never touched it. I've never opened it. I don't plan to, because God has provided everything that I've needed all along the way. God wants to provide for you. Financially, sure he does. Health and wealth type message here today? Not at all. God is interested, according to the book of 1 Timothy, in you having food, clothing, and shelter. It says nothing about a Mercedes. It says nothing about a Lexus. It says nothing about this or that. But the Bible does say that God's interested in me having food and you having food. He's interested in you having clothing and covering for your body and for your family. And he's interested in having shelter. And God is interested in providing the needs of people, and He means it. He means it. Trusting God for your provision, trusting God for emotional strength, trusting God for hope in death, trusting God for peace in chaos. I want to bring up, if we can, verse 18 again. Can we bring up verse 18? Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Sometimes in life, we have to respond to a hopeless situation, get this, with hope. You say, wait, what do you mean by that? You respond to a hopeless situation with hope because not you've got hope. In you, you've got hope in God. Because sometimes that's the only thing you can have in life. In a hopeless situation, you say, our hope is in you, Lord. Our strength is in you, Lord. Our trust is in you. Bring up verse 20 if we could. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. I wanted to know what that word waver. He did not waver through unbelief, and I found it means to stagger. Like somebody under the influence of alcohol would stagger in unbelief. A lot of people stagger through life in unbelief in the United States of America. You say, what do you mean by that? They're constantly just going from this place to that place, looking for something, looking to this person, that person, looking to that thing, to find them peace, and they're just staggering through life. There's no purpose, there's no direction. And staggering or wavering would be a good way to describe the way a lot of people walk in this world. Some of you staggered in your past. Some of you staggered right up until the last few months or weeks. But now you're walking in a straighter way. Why? Because you've learned how to walk? No, because you know the one who can help you to walk. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God.
Well, tomorrow on this program, I'm going to share a verse of scripture that's going to be repeated throughout the entire series from John 8:24. You may want to read it today.
I want to share a verse in closing that sets the tone for this whole message series on belief. It's John 8:24. Jesus is speaking. This is one of the most understated statements in all the Bible. I've never heard a minister talk about this verse ever. Never heard my dad talk about it, but it's Jesus saying this. I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. Isn't that a remarkable statement? Jesus doesn't say you will die in your sins if you don't walk the straight and narrow. He doesn't say you will die in your sins if you don't follow this prescribed plan of behavior. He said, you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. That's incredible. An incredible statement. Jesus said, you will die in your sins if you do not believe I am the one I claim to be. I like to go to old cemeteries, and I'm talking about ancient cemeteries where they used to write epitaphs on the bottom of the stone. And you will tear up at some of those old cemeteries. They'll say, a beloved mother. And they will have a statement about their mother or father. But I can't imagine a sadder epitaph to be on a stone. I've never seen it, never hoped to see it, but where it says this, he died in his sins. She died in her sins. Nothing is sadder than that to say that a person died in their sins, and yet Jesus said, if you don't believe that I'm the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. When I was younger, I never listened to a minister by the name of Adrian Rogers, but in the last 5 or 6 years, I started listening to Adrian from Memphis, Tennessee. Adrian is now gone to be with the Lord. But Adrian Rogers tells a great story on himself, and that's one thing I appreciate about Adrian Rogers, that he could tell a story that makes him look bad. That's humility. And that also shows his self-confidence and humility at the same time, in my opinion. He said he was at the Memphis airport waiting on a flight, had the newspaper out, drinking a cup of tea or coffee, and he was reading the paper, whatever he was doing, reading a book, and waiting for this flight to take off. And about 30 or 40 minutes of waiting went by. He said, I wonder when this plane is going to take off. So he goes up to the gate agent at the gate and says, can you tell me when flight 54 is going to take off? And the flight attendant said, sir, it took off 15 minutes ago. Didn't you hear the boarding announcement? Didn't you hear last call for flight 54? He was so engrossed in his paper and his cup of tea, he didn't even hear what was going on, and he missed the flight. And Adrian Rogers, when he told the people in the church that story, he said, that's the kind of preacher you have, a guy that would sit through an announcement right at the gate. But here's what he said. It was so powerful. He said, as sad as it was that I missed the flight, there was another flight. And he said, the tragedy in life is so many people are near the gate, so to speak, and do not come into the kingdom of God. And do not come into heaven for this simple reason, not because they were so bad and they were so wicked. We want to write people off because of their behavior. Well, he'll never go to heaven because of what he did. And we pronounce judgment on people. She'll never go to heaven because of what she did 20 years ago. And we dismiss people to hell. We've all done that. And Jesus comes along in John 8:24 and says, I tell you, if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. 8 weeks starting today on the word believe, I'm going to challenge you to look at what you believe about God, what you believe about Jesus, what you believe about the word of God, and what you believe about yourself, because it impacts everything else about your life. Let's pray together.
You have been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information or to listen to or download a copy of today's message, go to crosshope.org. That web address again is www.crosshope.org. Be sure to tune in each weekday at this same time to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. This program has been a production of Cross Hope Ministries.